This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margo Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Oh, yeah. Welcome in, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get our heads right on a Thursday. Short week this week. Short weeks to me always feel a little bit longer. It makes zero sense. I don't know why, but it doesn't feel like we've only been here 3 days. But we are happy to be here. I would say we've got a lot to talk about today, and I would be lying through my teeth. If I said that, I would be a stone-cold liar, bald-faced liar. I wonder where that came from. You're a bald-faced liar, Woodsy. I don't know. Maybe somebody can dig into it.
My guess would be, like, if you have a big beard, you can probably hide your poker face a little bit better. But when you're bald faced,
you're a bald faced liar.
It's very easy to see that you're.
All right, here we go.
By the way, that hits a little bit more than you're such a liar. You're a bald faced liar.
Just Google's AI quick answer says the phrase bald faced lie originates from the idea of a bare-faced lie, meaning a lie told without shame or concealment. Bald, in this context, referring to a lack of disguise or brazen attitude.
You're not even trying to hide the fact that you're lying.
Bald-faced has been used in this sense.
It's bald, right? Not ball?
Bald.
Bald. You're a bald-faced liar.
Has been used in this sense since the mid-17th century.
Ooh.
Quite a while.
That's a long time to be a bald-faced liar. And that's what I would be if I said, man, we are jammed to the gills with content today. I would be lying to you, and I don't want to lie to you. But I often find we thrive on days like this. Look, man, we are knocking on the door of baseball, and that makes me very, very happy. But we got to get through it. You know, we're still plowing ahead. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the bald-faced Reindel.
I mean,
I'm the only totally one who's really bald-faced.
You are bald-faced. Now, we have a bald-faced Ben Higgins joining us now. You shave, twice a week, three times a week?
Every day.
You shave every day?
Well, when you get off of work? Every TV work day. Before I go to work, right around 2 o'clock,
okay.
I will get out of the shower, and then I will shave with a safety razor. And don't use the electric razor.
Oh, no. Yeah. Like a
Gillette or whatever I have.
Do you use the cheapo blue ones that my dad used to use, or do you use like a good
blader? I've got a good solid razor.
How many blades on you?
I think it's like a four blade razor.
You don't cut yourself, like, ever. I never see you with a little nick. And when I used to have to shave for work when I was a suit and tie guy, I'd walk in every day with the toilet paper here, the toilet paper up here, toilet paper on this side.
I used to use a razor. I've never cut my face.
Really?
So I hate the look of the little dot of toilet paper.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I don't cut myself very often, but occasionally I do because, you know, Frugal Ben probably doesn't change his blade out as often as he should.
I'd do anything to see what that rust, rusty old turn looks like.
Off. I mean, I clean it off. I try to keep it in good shape, dry it just so it lasts as long as possible.
Puberty.
No, I mean, I do change them out, but I probably try to stretch them a little longer. So every once in a while with my moly face, I will,
you'll cut a mole.
I will get a little nick, but I really don't like doing the, like, the,
yeah,
the hanging piece of toilet paper.
It's terrible.
So I'll stick a little like Aquaphor just to seal it.
To cover it.
Yeah, there'll be maybe a little shiny spot, but that doesn't happen very often.
It really doesn't.
I'm pretty careful. I don't want to cut myself,
no.
So I tend to be
take
my time. Yeah. Usually you cut yourself when you're in a hurry.
It's like how you make love. Yeah. You take your time with care. You don't rush through it. Right? You really put in the work on your face. This is my guess. You're not saying anything.
Diesel says you shave before or after showering. After, of course.
After.
That loosens up your face a little bit. The heat, the steam is good for the shave. When you do it before...
Oh, see, I do it before because I just use the clippers to, like...
Oh, you use clippers.
Okay, well, yeah. And so I do that so that it's not all soft and the hair, like, won't rip out.
The opposite. I think with the electric one, maybe it's better when it's dry. But
yes.
Because I put the shaving cream on.
Some people say they shave in the shower, and it really requires a fogless mirror, which, by the way, those don't work. That's a bit.
I used to have one.
Yeah.
For one day.
And then they're not big enough.
No.
So, yeah, man, I don't know. I don't shave ever. I actually told my wife the other day, I said, I'd like to shave my face, just give it a good clean start. She said, absolutely not. She said, no one has ever looked like, she's like, you're a pervert by nature. But when you shave your face, they won't let you around kids. Like, you don't look like you belong coaching children. And I was like, are you kidding? It's just a little, it's not like I have a huge burly beard ever. It's usually about this length.
You're not Dylan Cease.
Right, I'm not Dylan Thief, right? I look.
Dylan Thief.
This is just kind of the look. And she said, no, you cannot shave your beard.
What
at
does
all.
That say about me?
Well, I just told you.
Weirdo creep, I think. Oh my God, Kurt, come on, dude. Kurt just said, you may think I'm a psycho, but I dry shave. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I won't always put shaving cream on if I have
what?
If I've just gotten out of the shower and my face feels pretty decent and I've shaved, you know, in the last 24 hours, I may just give it a dry, just quick
what?
Quick scrape.
Don't
along.
You need like the cream and the lanolin?
Not every
and, like,
time.
My God. Well, you don't get a real thick beard.
No, that's right. That's the only time. I mean, it's been a couple of days, obviously. Yeah, you need a little cream to push up the whiskers a little bit, but
I've never heard of anybody dry shaving.
Yeah,
like that. Not dry, Kurt. You put water on your face, right? You don't walk up to your regular face. And go,
yeah, at least I mean, if I do that, at least I'll have the hot water running, and I'll have at least a little warmth on the razor.
That is really, really something. Amanda says it must be a July 19th thing, Woodsy. That's my birthday as well. Anytime I shave, my baby face used to be the best, but now I think it scares everyone, including babies, and I can't even grow a beard. Yeah, this is our own special purgatory, Mando, that we are in for being born on July 19th. My beard isn't good. It's not cool. Doesn't look good. And I look like a pervert when I shave my face. So I'm really one of my many things that, you know, bothers me, like my self-confidence is that whole scene.
Well, they asked Padres players yesterday, their question of the day was whether or not Dylan Cease should keep his new, you know, long beard.
It's weird. It looks weird on him.
And if you didn't see it, Dylan, first of all, said, well, I'm going to do the opposite of what everybody says. And then just about everybody said he should keep it. They were pretty unanimous, other than Jackson Merrill, who was militantly anti-beard.
Yeah.
Everyone else said he should probably keep it.
Again, as I mentioned yesterday when we were talking to somebody about it, I think it was Sammy Levitt. You know, I said...
That is gnarly.
I said, if your buddy shows up, and you haven't seen him in a while, and you know, these guys weren't hanging out all off-season together, so he walks in the clubhouse day one, and he has this new look, there is a tinge of concern for him. You go, what have you... What's going on? Are you okay?
How did you do on Survivor?
You
just got back from, you know.
Or like, are you depressed a little bit? Do you have a little, do you have a little bit of depression? Because anytime my beard, and mine can't get that, thick and burly. But when I do let it go really long for me, it kind of means I'm not doing that well upstairs.
Because you just don't have the energy
Correct.
Or will to
you
shave it and do anything about it.
And you've never I have mild to moderate depression, right? And anxiety. You know, mild to moderate. Never needed medication or anything like that. Therapy always works for me. Breathing things work for me. How you know that I'm not in a good headspace is if I come in and I look like that. It means I can't even stand the sight of myself in the mirror. And it means I don't have the energy to take my electric clippers and just... It takes all of 30 seconds.
Where are you at today, then?
I feel great. Okay. Today, I feel great. I feel great. The other way to do it, if I don't take my vitamins. If my vitamins sit unchecked...
That's a sign.
That's a sign. He's off the deep end right now. Like he's not coming back. Let's just say this. The vitamins have been getting crushed every single night. The routine is better than it's ever been. The trainer is going great. He kicked my ass yesterday. So, you know, feeling very, very good and strong right now. But if I walk in looking like Dylan, I need you guys to pull me aside. And I think somebody might need to pull Dylan aside. There's a sadness
but
about
he
him.
He sounds just very mentally healthy.
Here's the other thing that pisses me off about it. You ever see anybody look cooler with the mustache that he had? I sure haven't. I get DMs from women. Hey, do you know Dylan Cease? Can you hook me up?
He literally does.
I literally did. That's a true story. I sent it to the fellas. Do you know Dylan Cease? Can you? I go, I know him. I mean, I've met him, but like, I don't know him well enough to like get you laid by him. You know what I mean? Like, I can't. I don't know him well enough to be like, hey, bro, this one, you may want to call her. Like, she's, by the way, she's a 10. She is a straight up 10. So is it now my duty at spring training to pull him aside and go, by the way, or is it not? Do I just ignore it?
He's a baseball player. You can let him fend for himself.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
I think so, too. I do. There's something about, like, I legit think he'll be okay. Whatever he wants. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it pisses me off because, oh, my super handsome face and badass Doc Holliday mustache is enough. Let me try something new. Oh, I also throw 98 miles an hour.
Okay, I'll agree with you there.
Come on, dude.
If I ever found a look,
if I found
everyone
a look,
said,
yes!
Man, you look really sharp that way.
I would literally never
keep that look for the next 40 years without changing it. Like someone like this look, so I am not even thinking about changing it.
I swear to God, if I could find like
hair length, everything is staying exactly the same forever.
If you found, I've been searching for my look for 40 years. I mean, since I was 10 years old, like what do I want to be? What do I want to look like? And, you know, you get a little facial hair and I can grow a mustache. It's disgusting. I don't look cool like he does. I don't have, look at his hair even. It's like flowing and.
Finally, the beard. A little bit of a different look for you. What was the inspiration behind the beard?
No inspiration. Just let it keep going. And then I woke up and I was like, man, we've taken this far. How far can we take it? So
he's that guy.
I don't know how long he's going to stay or go, but.
Maybe that's why the ladies want to meet
him.
A lot
of attention, which maybe will make me shave it.
He's going to get dreamy eyes, too.
He's ridiculously handsome.
It's possible. I don't know if I can get it. Get a nice that voice. Far in a year. I could
he's
probably
an artist.
Get
like, he's great.
Up with size though by end of the season.
I'm not getting him girls, dude. I'm sorry. I can't.
Whatever.
It's actually unfair. Like
he really has everything. He's rich. He's athletic.
Handsome.
Baseball
artistic, player.
Got a nice voice. Seems like a nice person. I mean, yeah. All right. And you said we had nothing to talk about, and we just got 10, 12 minutes right there.
Adam Hare. 11 more segments on Dylan Cease's beard.
Adam Hare. I mean, we used to talk about hair all day. Hair removal. How much is too much? How much is not enough?
It's the hair episode.
Yeah, listen, man. Hey, wanted to tell you guys real quick. Still fired up about what they're doing over at Sedano Ford right now. You guys know our backstory in the Woods family with Ford. We are big fans of the Blue Oval. My good friend Manny Sedano at Sedano Ford is celebrating our great country's leaders with red, white, and blue deals. Show some patriotism, salute savings on vehicles like the all-American Ford F-150 Lightning XLT, just $129 a month. You can feel the freedom of the open road in the Ford Explorer Active, just $349 a month. Your inner adventure could be exploited by the Ford Bronco Sport Big Ben, just $239 a month. And, of course, the Mustang Mach-E Select is just $129 a month. Great, great deals. Head on over to Sedano Ford. Honor a local veteran in Manny Sedano and a dealer you can trust. Let them know when you walk in. Hey, what brought you in today? Woodsy did. Woodsy told me to come by. My friends at Sedano Ford, they're going to find a way to work with you. It's the American way, the Manny Sedano way. They want you in a Ford. Spread some good old American pride and savings this President's Day month at SedanoFord.com. Hurry on over to Sedano Ford in La Mesa or SedanoFord.com before these red, white, and blue savings disappear. For more details about all of these offers, again, go to SedanoFord.com. I like this theory about the Dylan Cease beard. Kevin Jervis says maybe he was trying to convince teams that he's lost his mind so they won't trade for him. Maybe he really wants to stay. And so he's like, I'm going to look like I've gone off the deep end a little bit with this thing. And because he was very groomed. He was very groomed last year. And he had that brilliant mustache. Looked so cool every time he towed the rubber. And
it's funny how two very dramatically different looks for him. Yeah. Clean shaven with the mustache or just the big bushy beard. Mm-hmm. Still, either way, looks like a bartender in North Park.
He does. He does.
Way. Yeah. Either way.
Or, I mean, and still, you know, pretty damn handsome either way. It must be nice to be like, hey, I'm going to glue a turd to my forehead. Look how handsome I am. Must be nice.
It's like Hollywood actors.
Yeah. You know, oh, yeah. You
know, Glenn Powell could just not shave for a year and people would still be look at this guy.
In any role. You know, I got long stringy hair in this one. Yeah, you still look great. Oh, you're bald in this one. No, you still look cool. I mean, there's just something about it.
I mean, if having too long of a beard turned teams off, then, I mean, you'd have entire rosters depleted.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Phillies would not exist. There'd be no one there. No one would play for the Phillies because they're disgusting, most of them.
I mean, there is a ton of baseball players who just go full beard during the season. Justin Turner comes to mind as one of them, but there are many.
I really like the playoff beards that they do in hockey. And, you know, obviously some really big hockey tonight. Looking forward to that. That's going to be a fun one to watch. But I think that's just a cool thing. Like, we're all going to grow beards for the playoffs. And a hockey player told me one time they do it because it is irritating and they want to be irritated. They want to be, you know, they go the whole season without one, a lot of them. And then the playoffs come. All right, we're not shaving our beard. And it's not necessarily always let's just do it in solidarity with each other and do it for good luck and you don't want to shave and we'll start losing. No, they want to be pissed off because after you grow a beard for a few days, you're like, it's kind of bugging me. It's bugging me. And they want to be bugged. They want to be irritated so they can go out and beat the crap out of guys.
But what if at the wrong moment, like the puck's coming to them and all of a sudden it's like, I got to itch my face.
No, I think you forget about it when the game starts. Okay. Yeah.
Just outside of the game, you want to be irritated all the time?
You just want to be irritated.
That doesn't seem like peak performance type behavior.
It makes sense in my head. It makes sense in my head. You want to be feeling a little bit pissed off, you know, and I think that will do it.
All right. We actually may talk a little bit of hockey today.
Yes, sir.
Because of the Four Nations final that's coming up tonight. A lot of people have all of a sudden become intrigued by a sport that hasn't gotten a lot of attention recently. But
I feel confident in saying if it was just a regular NHL All-Star game, we probably wouldn't be doing any segments on it.
Right.
This is this has been a clear win for the National Hockey League.
Yeah.
Now, do they capitalize on it? Or will ratings go up for regular season hockey games when more people watch the playoffs? I've got no idea. But for this week, it's a big win for the NHL, a sport and a league that probably is in need of a win here or there. And a lot of people are going to be tuning in tonight for USA Canada in the final. And that's being played in Boston, right? So I imagine the atmosphere will be somewhat electric for that game.
Insane. Insane. Yeah. And, you know, as it pertains to the regular season, I don't know. But I can say with certainty, I think the playoffs will probably get some more eyeballs than it normally does. I think these two of them right here, being two of them, I think I would be way more interested if some of these guys are in there, some of these guys that we've been watching. I think that'd be pretty solid.
I think one question that needs to be asked, though, are you interested for the hockey or are you interested because you think there's going to be a lot of fighting?
Both. I mean, I love the game of lacrosse, but I also love when it gets really chippy. You know, it's my favorite type of games, and I expect to have one at Pechanga Arena on Saturday night when the Bandits come to town, Benny. I fully expect it to get chippy, you know, so I look forward to the beauty of the game, the athleticism and all of it, but I also look forward to guys, not liking each other and you know, hopefully coming to fisticuffs.
I think expectations are a big topic for San Diego FC, our new team in town. I'm going to talk a little bit about SDFC, not necessarily the, you know, big time details of, you know, what kind of offense they're going to run. We're not versed enough yet to conduct that level of conversation about our new team, but I'm curious if the tier ones are ready to jump in with,
yeah.
I mean, we've got a major league sports team starting in San Diego. You know, the last time a major league sports team started in San Diego at this level, I think it was the Clippers in 1978 is the last time that we had a major league level team begin play in this town.
Well, hopefully it goes better than that.
Hopefully it does go better than that. And it's coming up this weekend.
Hopefully we'll be able to watch it.
Yeah, that's something that we want to talk about
Yeah, we're newbies to kind of this, and we're trying to learn and educate ourselves and hopefully educate the audience, and maybe the audience can educate us a little
bit. Well, it's the thing I like the most about our program is that we don't have the answers. We actually look to you guys for more answers than we give you. It's a little bit different. Usually you tune into a radio show, maybe a sports radio show, Ben, where the hosts will tell you what you need to do to watch the game. In this case, we need you guys to tell us the best way to be able to view these games this season and what to look for. It's a little bit different.
All right, we'll talk about that coming up in our 7 o'clock hour. But, of course, lots of Padres talk as spring training continues. Tomorrow is the first Cactus League game right here on 97.3 The Fan. You can listen to it at noon. Padres and Seattle Mariners with Jesse Agler and Tony Gwynn on the call. Yesterday we heard that Ryan Burgert will be getting the first start. Don't read too much into that, but Mike Schilt was happy to announce that yesterday. But have the Padres continued to look into more starting pitching? A rumor that we actually didn't get a chance to talk about yesterday that came out yesterday was that the Padres are still in the market potentially for another starting pitcher. So I want to get to that coming up. We'll hear from Sam Levitt. Spring training Sammy will join us later in the program after he talks to players and manager Mike Schilt, probably right around 9 o'clock like he was yesterday from the Peoria Sports Complex. And we'll have our regular features on a Thursday. Don't do this. We got Real or Fake on a Throwback Thursday. Paulie says he's got a good throwback clip. I don't think it's one that I particularly enjoy.
Oh, that's weird.
But he seems very happy about it. So we'll have a Throwback Thursday clip for you in our, I think, 8 o'clock hour as well. So stay tuned for all of that coming up. But when we come back, who is the pitcher linked to the San Diego Padres just days after signing Nick Pivetta? Could another established starter be joining the rotation? We've got that coming up in just a couple of minutes.
Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER, GEGE000466.
First, though, Woods, 7 Mile Casino, as we get closer to the weekend, it is Thursday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, great times
great
to go out to 7 Mile Casino. Every day's open, every day's great. I like the weekends, though. They've got the weekend brunch at Sammy's at 7 Mile that is best in South County. It was voted tops from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays. So you go down for brunch and then stick around and sit down at one of the fantastic card tables.
Yeah, play some California-style blackjack. If you've got the time, play some Texas Hold'em, some Pie Gow, some Baccarat as well. We love 7 Mile Casino. They've been so good to us over the years. Do us a favor. Head on down yourself. Have some fun. Some great food. You're not going to be disappointed when you walk in the door. Smoke-free environment. No slot machines. Place for card players. Place for players like you.
The patio is epic. The weather looks pretty darn good over the next few days. You can enjoy lunch or just having a drink out on the patio that overlooks San Diego Bay. It's really a nice spot. Comfortable. Kind of that indoor-outdoor patio thing. Fantastic. Please check it out today. It's 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown. So last week, we were talking about a wide-open competition for the last two spots in the Padres starting rotation with, some interesting options, but none that you could feel 100% great about. Matt Waldron, Randy Vasquez, Johnny Brito. They added Kyle Hart, but there were a bunch of guys. Some minor leaguers. Omar Cruz was a name that was thrown out. Maybe Ryan Burgert, who's getting the start in tomorrow's Cactus League opener. And then Nick Pivetta signed, and it kind of changed the whole equation.
Now ATP, huh?
Now you're only looking for one starter, at least at the beginning of the season, to join the rotation. You still need the depth. I mean, you know, the competition's still important, seeing what you have, and picking that fifth starter is something that clearly the Padres needed to do. But then yesterday, and this was late in the show and we didn't get to it, Francis Romero, who is the same Francis Romero, by the way, who dashed our Roky Sasaki dreams when he was reporting on the fact that the Padres were going to sign international prospects, so that meant they weren't going to get Roky Sasaki, and he was right about that. He tweeted yesterday that there are still some teams that are interested in Jose Quintana, the free agent pitcher for the Mets. Had an under 4 ERA last season. Better an ERA than Nick Pivetta, by the way.
Yep.
And he said teams like the Mets, Rangers, and Padres are expected to target the 13-season MLB left-hander in the coming hours, per sources. Now, that was 21 hours ago. Did not hear any signing news on Jose Quintana, but he is consensus probably the best established free agent pitcher left on the market. He was in most of the top, 50 offseason best free agent lists. And seeing the Padres name included there, I thought was very telling. Whether or not they get Jose Quintana or not, the fact that they seem to be talking to him and interested certainly should tell you something, Woods, right, about what the Padres are thinking for their starting rotation and about this season as a whole?
I think you get to this point in spring training and you have, your top four pretty secure. Any way that they want to, dole out the starts, Ben, I really don't care what order it's in. I like our top four guys. Those guys, 1 through 4, pretty solid. So if you wanted to throw Darvish opening day, I get it. Fine. No problem. Whatever you need to do. When you get to that fifth spot, I think everybody likes to say, oh, no, we've got a real strong competition with Randy Vasquez and Matt Waldron and, some of the other names that you've already mentioned. But then you realize, well, geez, there's a guy out there that we can get. I don't think he's going to cost a ton. That was pretty good last year. ERA under 4, as you mentioned.
31 starts, 3.75 ERA, 170 innings
pitched. That's
pretty
damn durable, and then you look at that and you go, okay, we also need a left-handed starter because we don't have one of those. Except the guy we just got from Korea is left-handed, but I don't know how much faith you put in him. And you look at it and you go, all right, man, this does is just slot us more depth. We just have more depth, more depth, more depth, more time to develop the Randy Vasquez's of the world, whatever. So I think it's tempting, certainly. But, my question is, the guy went 10-10 with a 3.75 for the New York Mets last year. He had pitched 170 innings for them. Why don't they want him? They need him.
Because on the numbers, like just at face value, you're like, yeah, that's pretty good for a fifth starter.
According to Francis Romero, they are one of the teams that are interested in him. I know
he's asking for too much money. The last deal he signed was 2 years, 2013. You want to roll $13 million for your fifth starter? Is that what he's looking for? Is he looking for a 1 year deal for third or maybe even more AAV? I don't know that I'd do that.
Put out 13 for your fourth starter.
Given the price for starting pitching and how effective he's been, I would imagine he's asking for
a decent amount.
I mean, he's older than Nick Pivetta, so he's probably not going to get 4 years, but he should still get at least the AAV, if not more, 15 to 20 maybe on AAV on a shorter deal if you're looking at Jose Quintana.
Yeah, Edgar makes a good point in the chat, too. Frankie Montas is hurt. Already for the New York Mets, so maybe that is a reunion in waiting for those two.
Here's my probably unpopular take, though. And you're right, you can always use more depth. But if you signed Jose Quintana and you did stay healthy, which is, a definite if, but if you did stay healthy, you don't have any open spots in your starting rotation. You have to start Cease, Darvish, King, Pivetta, and Quintana.
Yes.
I mean, you'd be paying all of them quite a bit of money, over $10 million each. They have to be your starting
pitchers.
What's
the problem with that?
Yeah. You've got a problem. Tell me what it is.
Okay.
You got a problem.
I feel like you have some intriguing options. I mean, we talked about, they signed Kyle Hart for a reason. Matt Waldron did a phenomenal job for you for a good 2-3 month period last year. Do I know if he's going to do that again? I don't. But he could, but only if you give him the opportunity. Randy Vasquez made 20 starts. He was looking good at the end of the season. Will he do that again? I don't know, but neither will you unless someone gets an opportunity there. I kind of want whoever pitches really well and impresses in spring training to get that chance.
Yeah, but those guys will still pitch.
Yeah. They will still
even
pitch.
Even if you have point, five established starters, somebody's going down.
It's inevitable.
I mean,
and obviously there's the opportunity cost as well.
If you didn't want a six-man rotation.
If you have another knows? 15 to 20 million to spend on this roster, I don't know that another starting pitcher is where I want it to go. I want another. I don't know. Yeah. I want to save it for the trade deadline so you can acquire something that you definitely need.
Well, how about this, man? I mean, think about this. You want to talk about the trade deadline. Let's say you get Jose Quintana and he rounds out your rotation. You get your left-handed starter in the fifth spot. Going to give you some innings, going to eat some innings. He's very durable, very reliable. Great. It's exactly what you want. But Vasquez who am I missing? Vasquez,
Waldron.
Hart. Maybe not Waldron. But think about Randy Vasquez. Is he potentially a guy that if he goes down and pitches well, is he a guy that you can move, or do you just keep him because you've got him under control, you know, for years, and now you have six decent starters?
Well, I think you could, but his value is only going to be
that's what I'm thinking of.
His value is only going to be minimal unless he's actually pitching for you. Like if you pitched him in the first couple months of the season and he looked decent, he would have immense value as a controllable
young
player, already kind of showing himself in the starting rotation.
But we will also need him. Well, like you need if he's good. And durable.
I mean, you're insane if you think we got five starting pitchers. We're good for the year.
Yeah, you don't want to trade away.
I'm not saying they're good for the year, but there is such value in these in developing a couple of these young starting pitchers
100%.
For you, for trade value, for everything. And you can't really you have to give them some opportunities on the big league level. And I know you keep saying, Paulie, that they are going to get chances, as Waldron and Vasquez did last year. But how many will they get?
What if it's not great? Okay,
the flip side of that
coin. The flip side of that coin, or their effectiveness. The flip side of that coin is you're developing Vasquez, who I again think can be a decent major league pitcher. I really do. And Johnny Brito's got, there's something there too. There's a few of these guys where you look and you go, I'm not quite ready to give up on them. But you also don't want, if you can get a guy that is more reliable and more durable to round out your fifth spot instead of flipping a coin, not flipping a coin in the sense that, you know, I've got two guys I got to choose from, but rolling the dice, I think is probably a better way to put it. What if they're terrible? What if your fifth starter is a train wreck? What if it's Matt Waldron at his worst? You know, we've seen Matt Waldron at his worst. It ain't good. What if it's Randy Vasquez at his worst? That's the other thing. So if you can get one,
most kind of know what you're getting with
Quintana. You know what you're getting.
Highly mediocre at
best.
You still have a good season with a mediocre fifth starter.
You know what you're getting. In Quintana, I think the familiarity for a GM and a manager. We know this, man. Are there guys down in the minors that have the nastiest, most electric stuff ever? Can't really control it? Of course. There's hundreds of those guys. And I think a GM or a manager will dream on it for a second. And they'll go, if he could just lock in that control, we could have the next so-and-so. Okay, or I could go with this savvy veteran who carries himself like a professional. We know what we're getting. It's so tempting, but it's also these guys play it safe a lot.
What if Hart and Vasquez both have really good springs?
Yeah.
Again, Cadillac problems here. But and you sign Quintana, though, and so you send them both down to AAA to keep working. Yeah, you could ruin them down there. Sending them down to El Paso to throw there, and like you've got... You know, Waldron and Vasquez both threw better on the big league level than they did at AAA.
They did.
I don't want to necessarily banish my best younger arms to AAA. If they're throwing well in spring training, I want a job for one of them available.
And here's the cool part is that next week we will actually grab Ruben Niebla, sit down, and have a conversation with him about this. You know, that's something I want to ask him is like, hey, man, you know, last year really doesn't – there's – Mike Schilt talked about Randy Vasquez a lot when we sat down with him for a few minutes at FanFest, right? He was pretty high on him. I haven't heard much about him since. I haven't seen him throwing backfield BP or anything like that. But you ask Ruben, like, all right, man, brass tacks, right now, if you had to open the season, who's your fifth starter and why? I think he would straight up tell us, you know, and these are the reasons why. And that's if you don't go get a guy like Jose Quintana. Again, Jose Quintana, by the way, is not like, oh, my God, it was like when we got Martin Perez last year. I was like, all right, fun guy to watch. He's a competitor, but like, it doesn't just super excite me.
What'd you say his last contract was? 2 for 26?
2.26.
I mean, if you got him 2 for 28, opt out after one.
$14 million for your fifth starter and Jose Quintana, who's 36
years old.
That's
why I don't want to do it.
Right? I know. I'm kind of... now,
because you ain't taking less.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, I don't. He's not going to be one of those million-dollar guys. He's not going to come in and do, I'll do it for a mil. You know, and
bet on myself at 36.
By the way, he's smart right now because... You know, pitchers are going down. It's going to happen.
He's going to sign somewhere. He's not going to sit until June.
It happens every spring training. And again, somebody mentioned in the chat, Frankie Montas, Mets in the rotation right now. He's already hurt. So Jose Quintana could be a smart move for them. But it seems like Steve Cohen doesn't want to spend any more money, which is a weird thing. But yeah, I don't know that we need him. If we got him, would I be stoked? Yeah, it'd be pretty cool. But it doesn't make me nuts. I kind of tend to side with you, Benny, that let's kind of see what we have in that fifth starter spot. Still, I think by the total number of starting pitchers you have, you're still fairly deep-ish.
I think so.
You know, you're fairly deep-ish.
Yeah, we've seen it go, you know, sideways quickly. When three injuries happen,
snowball,
boom, boom,
baby.
Boom, it can snowball. So I understand that depth is always a good thing. All right, we'll keep this on the back burner, see if there's any more smoke on the Jose Quintana rumors other than that tweet from yesterday. But I do want to talk a little bit more. We discussed the automatic ball strike challenge system yesterday. Saw it in action a little bit yesterday in Peoria. And I was just looking and reading about some maybe unintended consequences that we didn't even think about in our conversation. And we'll get to that after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. All right. So I was, by the way, if you're not following Sam Levitt and 97.3 The Fan on social media, you're missing great content, including yesterday's throwing session for Yu Darvish, which took place, and you don't see this often in spring training, but inside the stadium in Peoria. They rarely go over there unless they're playing the games because they've got everything they need in their own bullpen. You know, five steps away from the clubhouse is where the bullpens are. So they don't generally go over there, but they wanted to test the new ABS challenge system that's going to be in use in spring training starting today. First spring training game is today. Dodgers, Cubs, Padres start tomorrow. So Yu Darvish went to the mound and Sammy was there filming it and got batters in there. And a curveball, like on the inside corner, gets thrown. The catcher calls it a strike, and then the batter taps his helmet, and it goes to the jumbo screen and shows the actual result of the pitch. In this case, it was slightly inside for a ball, just a little bit inside. Happened very quickly, maybe 15 seconds tops, to end up overturning the call. And in that case, his team would have kept the challenge. The strike call would have been overturned and the at-bat would have continued unless it was ball four. And then he takes first base. This is how the ABS challenge system is intended to work. And it looked like it worked. Now, Yu Darvish was asked about it. I think Yu's got his sly sense of humor, but he goes, I had two calls that I thought were good. And then they went against me. So I'm not a big fan of the system so far.
Yeah. It'll even out you. The way he moves the ball around.
I think he knows that too. But, I thought about it. And, some pitchers with movement like that, part of their game is the deception that your ball moves so much that you can fool umpires as well into calling strikes.
Catchers can do it.
It ends up right in the middle of the zone. That looked like a strike, obviously. I mean, a human being thinks that's a strike. You can't fool an electronic system. And that ball looked like a strike that you threw. But it wasn't. It actually curved right around the inside of the zone and ended up being a ball. But the unintended consequence, and our friend Craig Calcaterra wrote about it this morning, that I haven't thought about at all. So if they do go to this challenge system in 2026 as being rumored and speculated after a test run this year, when you watch games on TV, you're probably not going to be able to have the strike zone box there live anymore.
The K zone
for multiple reasons. First of all,
I need the K zone.
I gotta have the K zone. How do I bitch at the umpire without the K zone?
I got a fever. The only prescription
is more K zone.
We're not in the business of taking things away from fans very very much in sports. Like if they got rid of the score bug all of a sudden, I liked how games looked in the 70s.
Yes.
Where you turned it on, you had no idea what inning it was.
Yeah, the announcer was hammered on Budweiser.
Those were the days.
Let's go back to those days without
the score
bug.
What is the score? What inning are we in? Yeah,
I looked down for a second. What's the count again?
I have no idea.
Jesus,
it's true. You turned on WGN and be like, you'd see Leon Bull Durham up at the plate, and you're like, I have no idea how many outs. I don't know if anybody's on. I don't know the score. I don't know the count. It was terrible.
And we've kind of gotten used to that strike zone box, you know, to inform our opinions of the pitcher.
People hate it. I love it. I mean, I tried to watch. They had games without it last year for some reason.
I like
something.
They kind of had faded it a little more into the background.
I don't like
you
it,
want
man.
It there.
I need it there.
But what they said was if they go to this challenge system, they can't really have it there for a couple of reasons. First, you know, some team like the Houston Astros is going to figure out a way to quickly look at the strike zone box and then signal to their batter to challenge or to the pitcher.
Where?
You got someone, you know, trash can banging somewhere that quickly signals.
But you only get a couple of seconds the challenge.
I mean, how long did you get to signal from the batter that the pitch is going to be a fastball coming up?
So that's different, right? So that the way that that worked was there was the guy in that back room, and he was sitting on a live feed. So he was seeing everything happen in real time.
This would be a live feed as well.
Well, so here's the thing. They knew their signal. So if the guy would throw down 3-1-2, okay, he went 3-2, that's a fastball. And they knew that they would pick up and they studied the algorithms of how they gave their hand signals. And so then, bro, it's as soon as I get the signal, that means fastball. Bang, one bang. Guy hears it while he's at the dish. Fastball's coming.
I mean, but they're going to have like 2 or 3 seconds to tap their head. And you're saying they're not going to be able to
somehow find
a way.
I'm watching. I see it. It's one of those that's down and away.
You're like on a radio mic to someone who's out in center field that they know to look for, and instantly in 1 second you tell them it's a ball challenge. He like throws up a pom-pom in the air.
A pom-pom.
Someone looks out there and the guy hits challenge, and you know you're going to rewrite every time. The other part of it was simply from the fan perspective. The challenge is like a dramatic moment.
Yes.
And you're waiting to see this on the board. Is it a strike or a ball? If you've already been watching, if you've got monitors all over the ballpark, you lose that drama. So you can't really have the strike zone box anymore. Just an unintended consequence. All right, what about SDFC starting today? We're going to talk about that next.